Today is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. This is Quick Start from CBN News. I'm Dan Andros. The disturbing anti-Semitic protests on college campuses continue to grow. We'll have that top story and more on today's podcast, where we bring you news from a Christian perspective. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating. If you haven't done that yet, we'd appreciate it. Also, you can send us your thoughts via email, quickstartpodcast@cbn.org. Joining me today to get through the news and to pray, Madison Seals. Madison, on the focus, we've got a Texas school teacher suing her school district for violating her First Amendment rights.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've seen this happening a lot recently in the United States, where Christians are being targeted with attacks on our First Amendment rights. And in this case, it's for something as unproblematic as prayer.
In Texas, of all places, you wouldn't expect it there. So looking forward to the details on that story on the focus. On the main thing, we caught up with the host of the Exorcist Files podcast, who shared stories about demonic possession and healing. Billy has more on that on the main thing today. Don't forget to subscribe to all of our CBN News podcasts if you haven't already. DC Debrief with John Stolness. It's a weekly pod dropping on Fridays, rounding up the happenings in DC. Also, Newsmakers with Billy Hallowell, a daily full-length interview every weekday. Don't miss that. Subscribe in the description of this podcast. You can find the links to those pods there. And right now, we're going to head on over to the news in 90 seconds. And those disturbing anti-Semitic protests continue at some of the nation's most elite colleges and universities. The unrest has come as the Ivy League universities are facing crisis regarding charges of anti-Semitism on campus. And this is just weeks after several of the school's presidents faced backlash for disastrous congressional testimonies in front of Congress there on rising anti-Semitism on campus. A Columbia University professor now who's been a vocal critic of how the school has been responding to these anti-Israel protests was barred from campus, and the school said that it was for his own safety because they couldn't ensure it. This is all happening just ahead of Passover, and now Jewish students have been told to stay home and take classes virtually. And meanwhile, a beauty queen who was crowned Miss Israel in 2021, she was smashed in the face recently at one of these protests with the butt of a protest placard during the March 30th rally on video. And that's just the latest in these disturbing incidents. You can check out more at cbnnews.com. And more than 2 years after fighting with Russia has made Ukraine one of the world's most mined countries, CBN News' George Thomas traveled to the front lines for a fascinating report on how they clear all those mines out of there. You can check that out at cbnnews.com. Madison, a lot going on here, and the Israel stuff on college campuses is just, it's really shocking. On the podcast yesterday, we talked about how one of the chants, I mean, even the Biden administration, who's been trying to play both sides of this thing and try to sort of cater and pander to the far left on this, they had to come out and say this is disturbing when people were saying, hey, this October, to the Jewish students, this every day is going to be October 7th for you here. And they made a circle and said that Jewish people couldn't come in. It's just, I mean, I'm not surprised, but it's just so disturbing that this is continuing, that they're not seeing what they're actually doing and how hateful and bigoted and awful it is.
Right. Yeah. Regardless of what you think about the war going on in Israel or any controversial topic for that matter, if you're not on the front lines of the war or defending yourself from a physical attack, there's no justification for all of these random acts of violence that we're seeing on people who disagree with you. And it really, it doesn't make the point that maybe people think it does. And instead, it really gives credence to whatever cause or mindset you're representing being one of violence. And aside from that, it's also just sad to see this happening on college campuses, which are supposed to be a place where you're exposed to new ideas and differing opinions, and you engage in calm arguments with people that you disagree with and, you know, learn new perspectives. And not even the teachers are able to hold to that. And it's just really sad to see in a place where people are supposed to be exposed to new things.
And the hypocrisy is just overflowing and just flashing in bright red lights. One clip I saw, there was some guy yelling out instructions and all of these students were mindlessly parroting it and saying things like, let's lock arms, and then let's lock arms, they all yell. Then they lock arms, they say, one step forward. And they're sitting there like talking and saying, you know, no, don't let the Jewish people in here. It's invading our privacy. First of all, they're outside in a public space, or at least on this university, which is not their private property in their private space. They're out on this campus. And they're just yelling at these Jewish students, and clearly it's a threat. And I just think, gosh, probably, I don't know, 6 months ago, a year ago, you had all of these probably same people talking about inclusion and diversity, and you're making me feel threatened here. And to then single out a group of people and do this is so hypocritical. It's really hard to understate it. And I don't really know how you explain it outside of this is just evil. And this is spiritual. And it's just rising up for reasons those of us who read the Bible probably can deduce. And I can't really think of another way to explain all this. Can you?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, we have to be reminded sometimes as Christians that we live in a world that is in a constant battle between good and evil. There's no in between. And unfortunately, situations like this remind us of that sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's certainly not intellectual, which, like you said, is kind of what you hope for at a university. You're kind of sitting there saying, hey, maybe we'll get thoughtful arguments. Maybe we'll hear the best argument from the other side. Maybe we'll talk about why we think this position is wrong and this one isn't, and we can respectfully agree or disagree at the end of the day. But that doesn't appear to be what's happening at our most elite college and university campuses, sadly. All right, we're gonna head on over to the focus story now. And as you were talking about there at the top, Madison, this Texas teacher was practicing her faith and it got the attention of the principal in a negative way. So what happened here?
Yeah, so, you know, these attacks that we were just talking about may not be getting teachers' attention, but apparently praying does. So yeah. A little backstory on the plaintiff in this case, Stacy Barber. She is a veteran teacher of 26 years and teaches at Cardiff Junior High in Katy, Texas. And she's also an outspoken Christian. And at some point while teaching at this school, she asked the principal, whose name is Brian Round, if she could start a campus chapter of Students for Christ. But she was told that the city does not have religious clubs and that Cardiff Junior High was not allowed to have any religious clubs either. So Barber complied with that and continued teaching there. But in September of last year, when CU at the Pole came around, she joined two of her friends who are also teachers at the school to pray at the school's flagpole, along with thousands, hundreds of thousands of others around the country. It's, for those who don't know, CU at the Pole is an annual event where students and teachers across the country pray and worship God before the school day begins. We cover that every year here at CBN. And it's important to note that she'd participated in this event for the previous 8 years at the same school. But this time, Principal Round pulled her and the other teachers into his office and told them that employees cannot pray with or in the presence of students. And he said this was a violation of board policy. And then he also went on to send them an email afterwards saying, quote, even though it is before the school day, you're on campus, visible to students in your role as an employee. And that was his reasoning for saying that they couldn't be praying. So Barber filed a lawsuit with the American Center for Law and Justice, suing the school district, saying that it violated her First Amendment rights.
Wonder, just off the top of my head, just wondering what this school's position is on Pride Month. You know, if they are going on in Pride Month and have classes going on at that time, you know, just be interesting to see it, because wouldn't be the first time I've seen somebody do something like this and then turn around and allow a teacher to just spout everything they want about the pride flag. So, but how did the school district respond to this letter that they had sent?
Well, there's kind of two parts to this, because the ACLJ initially filed a demand letter to the school district asking the school to stop infringing on Barber's First Amendment rights. And the demand letter states that Principal Rounds forbade teachers from praying in the presence of students, even if it occurred before the school day began. Now, he did acknowledge that they have a right to pray privately, like during a break time, before school or after school, but the ACLJ said that allowance or right didn't go far enough. And they also said that Katy Independent School District responded to the demand letter, at first acknowledging that they had violated Barber's rights, and they agreed that the policy needed to be changed. But that's not where the story ended. The same district later sent out a new policy that states board policy makes it clear that employees will neither advance nor inhibit religion. And they went on to say employees may not promote, lead, or participate in religious activities of non-curriculum related student groups. So even though it seemed like the district agreed to change their policy at first, they really ended up walking it back with that statement.
Yeah, sounds like Freedom From Religion Foundation or somebody got to them and said, told them what to do or something of that nature, because they clearly changed their tune. What is the ACLJ's lawsuit on behalf of Stacey Barber claim?
Well, the issue really comes down to whether Christians can pray in public or not. It shouldn't matter that they're a teacher or on school grounds, because our First Amendment protections extend there as well. And that's essentially what the ACLJ responded with. The lawsuit is against the school district and Principal Rounds for violating Barber's First and 14th Amendment rights and violating the Religious Freedom Restoration Act as well. And the lawsuit says the Supreme Court has made it clear that both student and teacher prayer, including prayer at CU at the pool events, is a protected form of speech that school officials cannot ban. And the goal of this lawsuit is to make sure that the school amends its policy to reflect what the Constitution already requires.
Yeah. And it really just seems like these groups and people that fight against prayer in school and any sort of expression of Christian faith in school, it seems like they take this Establishment Clause idea and just cast a wide net on that thing, and just anything, any remote utterance of your faith, Establishment Clause, and, you know, a teacher praying, how that can be construed as establishing a religion in the school and forcing kids to do a religion is just so beyond ridiculous and clearly not the spirit of what is truly prohibited, right? Like, the teacher's not forcing everyone to sit there and pray and recite their scriptures and making them do it or they get an F. They're not doing anything remotely close like that. And so it really just leaves this impression that to kids in the school that if you even utter these naughty things about God, you're doing something bad, very bad. And it's just this negative connotation. And as I said, meanwhile, LGBT propaganda is proudly displayed everywhere and, you know, go shout your abortions and your transgender identities and everything else, your pronouns. And so it does seem like a double standard. And yeah, I really do think this is just a massive abuse of the idea of the Establishment Clause.
Yeah, and the word that keeps coming to mind about this teacher praying at the school is unproblematic. You know, It's sad to think that this teacher is being punished for not only practicing her own faith, but also wanting to invest in her students. Teachers already work long hours, and in addition to that, she had in the past wanted to start that campus chapter of Students for Christ, which would have been for the purpose of loving on our students even more. And, you know, that's the kind of time and heart commitment that schools should want from a teacher, but instead they're pushing her away and punishing her for it.
Yeah, really disturbing. I mean, especially in Texas too, where generally Christians can find friendly, find friendly fire over there in Texas on issues like this, but apparently not this time around. So appreciate you putting that one on our radar. We'll look forward to any updates that might come down the pike on that story. We'll certainly have it at CBN News. All right, we're going to head to our main thing now and The Exorcist Files. It's a podcast created and hosted by Ryan Bethea, and he's gearing up for the second season of the pod. And the show features stories of demonic possession and healing. And so the host joined Billy for today's main thing to explain on what he's hoping to accomplish with this podcast and more. That's today's main thing.
So Ryan, The Exorcist Files, an incredibly successful podcast series. You are moving into the next phase. A lot of really cool stuff coming. We're going to get into all of that. But for those who don't know, they're not familiar with The Exorcist Files, what in the world led you into this world of evil and the demonic?
I started this with much more, we'll call it lighthearted desire to document what I'll call metaphysical phenomenon so that people in Los Angeles and SoCal don't think I'm immediately crazy. I've always been fascinated with just the idea of like, what are those crazy coincidences or miraculous answers to prayer or even just healings? Like, it's rare. Like, I don't want to mislead people to thinking that like I've seen hundreds of people healed of crazy things, but you know, there's a lot of cool things going on that can't be explained in our world. And that was, you know, my sort of pillars are just what's real and what's ridiculous. And those two kind of fit that. And so I actually got to go and meet some people at the Vatican who walked me through and said, hey, look, it's going to be a little tough to get some of these medical records. And as you know, they have a whole process for documenting healings as part of their saint canonization process. So if you were to be considered for sainthood, which I'm sure your application is still pending, you would have to have two miracles associated with your name. And they have doctors, evidence, sign. I mean, they throw out almost all the claims because they want it to be real. And when it is real, it meets a really high threshold of evidence. And that was awesome. But unfortunately, you know, medical records are understandably, and frankly, it's good that they're hard to access, right? And so the individual I was working with said, you know what, I want to introduce you to, in the meantime, to a guy who we send sort of many of our top, most difficult cases for in spiritual warfare. And of course, my producer hat went, interesting, I should talk to him. Needless to say, I met an exorcist, and you have to ask him to tell you a few stories. And after that, I said, I think we have a show here. And here we are.
So in this show, you guys do incredible dramatic reenactments. I mean, there's a lot happening in this show. It's not just an interview show. How did season one, putting those stories together, being sort of at the center of creating these narratives, how did that change you or impact you?
Well, the moment we hit record in this monastery, when we started recording, the power went out. And I remember Father Martin's just had a kind of smirk and goes like, hey, welcome to my world, right? I have to say, the amount of people that I've talked to who work in just paranormal or, you know, super or spiritual warfare, or even attempting to document this, the signal and the noise, for, you know, a bad pun, there is so much tech failure that happens. It was absolutely, you hear stories and you're like, oh, whatever, not going to happen. And sure enough, we had power go out, a full episode disappear off multiple drives. I mean, just, you know, again,
could it be? Wait a minute, what were you thinking when those lights went out? Like, there you are, you're about, like, here we go, we're starting this up. You hit start, you go, and then that happens. Like, what was going through your mind in that moment?
You know, I think one of the reasons the show's been successful is that there is a polarity. You know, obviously, I'm a Christian. I totally believe in the supernatural, but it's not my vocation. It's not my day job to cast out demons, right? And when you meet someone like that, and they have just an entirely different lens of looking at the world, I just come at everything very skeptical. I grew up in a tradition where, you know, it's just not talked about. And again, I love science. You know, those posters that say, I believe in science. Like, I love science. It's amazing. And one thing I appreciate about Father Martin's is that he will also say the vast majority of these reported cases of spiritual warfare are unfortunately attributable to mental illness or wrong, right? We all hear things that go bump in the night, et cetera. So I just thought, yeah, it's funny. I didn't even think demonic. I just thought, oh, what a funny coincidence, right? And then there comes a point where you have enough things happen where you're like, oh, it's interesting. And the thing that I want to talk about in the show is that, you know, it's funny. There's this sort of blissful ignorance that, again, I always start with if it's true, right? And I'm playing the skeptic on the show, which is like, hey, I'm just putting the evidence out there and you can decide whether all these people are making this up or not. Because again, Father Martin's is not paid to do exorcism. This is not a per exorcism, you know, not a per exorcist, you know, fee. The church doesn't charge. This is a very serious, and to his credit, he actually was very reluctant to share this. It was only out of a desire to say, hey, I want to warn people to the dangers of dabbling in the occult. So you kind of sit back and you go, okay, this all seems very, very strange. And you kind of just go along with the flow. And then at a certain point, enough things happen where you say, okay, I think something interesting is happening here. And if you believe in the Judeo-Christian narrative, right, if it's true, right, it's funny, everyone's comfortable with guardian angels and it's fun to swap stories, touched by an angel, et cetera. No one, of course, referenced touched by a demon.
Touched by a demon, yeah.
Which did not come out, thankfully. But it's funny, if it's true, right, it's like, hey, then these other things exist. And guess what? And I'll say one thing I always smile at. I get so many emails from people saying, hey, if I listen to this, will demons show up in my house? And I want to say, if it's true, right, then, and you are a Christian, then you were already under attack the moment you were born. So it's an insidious lie that you can't even learn about it. And I think some of these little things that happen kind of fuel that myth. So yeah, I kind of raised eyebrow.
Well, okay. So let's talk about that for a minute, because you just raised something really interesting, and it's something I've dealt with too. You know, there are people who say even talking about this stuff, whether you're doing a podcast about it, writing a book on it, which, you know, I've done, that you're opening the door. Meanwhile, my motivation has always been, you know, I'm a lifelong Christian. I also am skeptical. I want you to prove to me that what you're saying is true, or that what you've gone through is true. I want to know that it's real. I know these things exist, but are what you are telling me true? You know, but that I think perceived danger is very interesting to me, because what you're doing here in this series, you're creatively, artistically presenting these stories, not with an end goal of just terrifying everybody, but I would imagine there's a broader end goal in that exploration. Talk a little bit about that and why people shouldn't be fearful, in your view, of listening to these sorts of shows.
For sure. So first I'll give the Christian answer, the requisite Christian answer. So if it's true and the Bible is true, so if these demons are real, the good news is, you know, they always in the cartoons, they portray the angel and demon on your shoulder. That is not theologically accurate, according to church tradition. Technically, only a third of the angels fell in the narrative from heaven. So you actually would have two angels on your shoulders. So don't worry. There's like, and then you throw in the Holy Spirit, and you got like, there's basically like three of you, and then Jesus. So basically it's like 5-1, you know, so don't worry. But also in scripture, it's written, right, that God has not given a spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. And so again, evil preys off fear, etc. And so I believe it's sort of like akin to that famous quote from which was popularized in The Usual Suspects, but the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing us he didn't exist. And so, you know what, like there is a vested interest in these things staying hidden, obfuscating, disappearing, et cetera. And they want, I would guess if they are real, they want you to believe it's all just a myth, et cetera. So all that to me points to is that they're probably more afraid of you if it's true than you are of them. Because, I mean, in fact, remember in the scripture, the apostles come back and they're like, Jesus, this is amazing. The demons submit. That's like the thing they lead with, right? They're like, even the demons submit to our names. They didn't come back and be like, I did all this other cool stuff. It was like, dude, Jesus, this happened. And he has to remind them, yeah, that's cool, but FYI, just rejoice that you're saved.
All right, Billy, thanks for that conversation there. Very interesting for sure. That's going to leave us here on the pod today for one last thing.
Yeah, Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved.
Amen. Good spot to leave it on the pod today for sure. As always, make sure you're getting on over to cbnnews.com, faithwire.com for more news from a Christian perspective. Lord willing, and that creek don't rise on us, we shall return tomorrow with more news from a Christian perspective. All right, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. God bless. See you back here tomorrow.